it's time for the Punters Panel, where we speak with local older people about the issue of the day.
I've been researching you baby boomers. Here are some facts you might not know. When baby boomers die, they get buried in a coffin, also have an investment coffin buried at the same time so they can negatively gear in death. It's a wonderful system. The natural habitat is a three-bedroom, two-bathroom terrace house they bought in Brunswick for a shilling and a song. And the natural predators are skin cancer and their children. We're coming for you, boomers.
And that was Tom Ballard. He's got us pegged, though, aren't we? We're all cashed up and we can just kick back now that we're getting older. What do you reckon? My guests today, Lucille McKenna and Jude Stoddart. What do you think?
Well, I think a lot of people would wish they all were cashed up, but it's not the case for many people going into old age. I mean, I think it's one in four people over the age of 65 are in poverty. So, you know, it's not quite the rosy picture people would like to think.
Yes, I would agree. I think the if we all had a home and we all had a good super balance and we all had had a maybe a professional career where we'd been able to contribute to our super funds, that would be a different matter. There seems to be at this point in time two groups really, those that have little and those that are the comfortable team group, and it does concern you. One of the things that concerns me enormously is the fact that older women are now one of the groups that are experiencing homelessness, a growing group of homeless people, and for many reasons why women are in that group. And so I don't know how we make this fairer and better, but it certainly needs some work.
I think your point about the women is really important, because basically the pay gap in everyday when you're working lives, the pay gap turns into the Grand Canyon when it comes to pensions. You really are missing out. And I think they say something like women have got 47% of the superannuation that men have upon retirement.
The average balances are very small, nowhere near enough to really supplement an income. So it is a real concern, you know. But the other, of course, there's a couple of messages in the talk today, I think. One, I'd like to reinforce the value of the Financial Information Service. It is a great service, and I've used it over a number of years. I sort of became enrolled and involved in using the service by default by a program that was running at the time called the Pension Bonus Scheme. And I've found them very, very useful, and just in a whole range of things. You know, there are so many questions that you have, and when my husband died last year, I phoned them up and found them just over the phone. They gave me a whole lot of information, which was really, really useful at the time.
It sounds a fantastic service, and until I heard the program, I didn't actually know about it.
Yeah.
I think it's a great service.
I actually had experience directing people to go and see them, because I worked in aged care, and with people approaching having to go into an aged care facility, and whether they were able to, whether they should sell their house or they should keep their house, whether they would lose their pension, whether they wouldn't, all of these options. And the Financial Information Service is fantastic at putting people's minds at rest, telling them their best option, you're best to do this or that. And I never really heard anyone come back. Nobody ever really came back and said it wasn't a very useful service.
Don't charge you fee, do they?
They don't charge anything. I'm not sure whether you have to have a pension number to be able to access them. He did say anyone on the chat, so hopefully it is. Hopefully it is available to anyone, that I'm not sure of.
I was going to just say, I mean, the issue about learning and understanding about finances is really quite a challenge for a lot of us, isn't it?
It is.
Because certainly, I mean, I was privileged enough to have superannuation, but really and truly, I just used to get the letters. I mean, exactly what he, you know, the presenter said. I used to get the letters and stick them in my drawer and unopened for a long time until I was nearing retirement, and then suddenly thought, oh my goodness.
I find that superannuation is a little bit like the theory of relativity. I think sometimes I understand it, then I learn something new and I realise I do not have a clue.
Yes, and there are a lot of rules around it, of course, too. And, you know, there were a couple of comments there about, you know, adding to it and salary sacrificing and all of these things, which are all terms that some people will understand and many people won't. But there are rules, like you reach an age where you can't put any more money in. So, and I have reached that age, and I was... also, I thought recently I might sell my big unit that I have and buy a smaller one in the same block I was going to do it. And that way I could have put my money into... Then I discovered from the Financial Information Service that if I hadn't lived in the current house for 10 years, I didn't qualify for that. So there are a whole lot of rules in amongst all of these government programs, and the FIS are really fantastic at being able to answer all those questions. And my advice to all older people would be to contact them before you make financial decisions like, I'll sell my house and do this or that, because they actually... And apparently their charter is to make sure that they give you the best advice. So they don't actually work for the Department of Human Services and try to make sure that they don't give you... that they try to make sure, do the best thing for the department. They actually give you free and fearless financial advice.
And I think that's the difficulty, isn't it, about where do you normally get that free and independent advice? And even around things like superannuation, and when you then have to draw on your superannuation, you're reliant on the market. And frankly, you know, I never spent my life looking or having shares and knowing how to look at what the market's doing and all of those things. I'm an educated person, but I'm completely unfamiliar with all of that. So it's very scary in terms of actually thinking, well, how do I manage that point in my life? And it's that feeling of when you stop work. I mean, I've worked all 40-odd years of my life full-time, so I've got a sort of trajectory of having, you know, at least accumulated some superannuation. But you get to that point and you start to draw down on a finite sum, you do begin to think, it's not as easy as when the money comes in next week, or I can just earn a bit more, I'll wait till next week. And those sorts of things, I think, are very scary around money for people.
I certainly have found this first 6 months of my retirement to be quite scary. I get quite panicky at times about, do I have enough money? You know, I did think I'd buy a new car, but I'm not sure whether I do want to buy a new car, because my super will just be starting to go down. But then at the other side of that coin is that I feel very lucky that I'm in the position that I am in, but I did put a lot of effort into growing my super by selling my we sold the family home a few years ago. We put a substantial amount of that into the super, so my super is a reasonable amount. But, you know, I did have that value of that knowledge.
But I think one of to go back to the point you raised earlier, though, Lucille, is that I think the issue around how do you solve this is that the patterns, particularly, say, for women, of women's employment, is such that they are in a difficult... It's not a want of not knowing about super, it's they don't have the money to save because of broken patterns of employment and the fact that they've been taken time out to care for kids and then time out to care for elderly. We need to think about some structural solutions in terms of our whole pension system that recognises that people don't come to retirement equally.
Yes.
And I think it's just really important, because it won't be fixed by people, individual women making more effort, you know, as much as we think we should do, because there's actually a structural problem about being able to earn sufficient in superannuation if you've got those other responsibilities. So,
I certainly would agree with that. And in my working life, I employed a lot of younger women, and I was always amazed at the little knowledge that they had, and I found myself in a difficult position trying to explain to these new employees how they, you know, that they should take an interest in their super. But many don't. Mm. The majority don't. They see it as something in the future that they don't really need to be concerned about. And perhaps I don't know that what the solution is to for people to be able to take some sort of control. And unfortunately, some of the government programs don't necessarily support training people or teaching them. They maybe try to change things to for the better, but at the end of the day, we still end up with this lack of knowledge about what's happening with their super.
But with all the planning in the world, that's the thing. I mean, external events, you know, sadly, in your case, your husband dying, and other cases, people's marriages breaking up.
Mm.
So their future looks very different to how they think they're going to think about it. So it's how do we recognise that life's bumpy?
Mm.
You know?
Mm. Mm. Yes, that I don't know. And different countries do it in different ways. You know, there are the countries that pay a pension to everybody, which, you know, I mean, that's not a silly thing, really, because those with a lot of money pay a lot of tax, I assume. I'm not really certain. But for us in Australia, we don't have that that sort of level.
You might be talking about the universal basic income.
Universal basic income is
another exciting idea.
Sort of idea which could be
maybe that's a theme for a future episode.
That's a great idea, actually.
Look, Lucille McKenna and Jude Stoddart, thank you very much for joining us on the Baby Boomers Guide Punters panel. But we were talking earlier about homelessness being a particular problem for older women. I've been advised by the Older Women's Network that there is a forum coming up just to put things into perspective, 116,427 Australians have no home, and the fastest growing number of homeless people is single women over 55. 189,404 are on the waiting list for social housing. And so there is a forum coming up, a national crisis. How are the major parties going to fix this? It's on Monday, the 13th of May, at Newtown Neighbourhood Centre from 2 till 3:30. You can find out more and you can RSVP by going to info@ownsw.org.au or calling 9519 80 44.